Well, good afternoon, everybody. Blessings on your life on today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. It is a hot one today, y'all. This is like hot 95 FM. I'm so glad to be back with you on this wonderful Wednesday. It is face-to-face, and we are live. We are broadcasting live on today. And I want y'all to forgive me. I've been somewhat absent. I had a couple videos that I circulated in the last couple Wednesdays, but I have not been present personally because I got a life too, right? However, I am present today. We left off, and I know that I did not finish with my series on alien invasion. And that's where we left off for our Wednesday Bible studies. And I'm going to finish that. However, I'm not going to pick up where I left off at, but I'm going to finish it. And so I'll let you know when that's going to happen. It may be next week or the week after, I don't know. But sometimes we have prevailing issues that take precedence. And so the issue that we have before us today is the situation with these guns, right? And as a man of God, as a minister, as a concerned individual, citizen of the United States, it is my job, my duty, my obligation to speak to these situations, because if we don't speak, then the Bible says that the rocks will cry out, right? So we got to say something, right? Because the world is speaking. The world is speaking. And so if the world is speaking and the church is not speaking, then we really don't know what to do, because the church should be the barometer for the direction that everybody should go in. That's including the world, because Jesus didn't come just for the church. He came for the world. The church is good. The world is the one that's in trouble. And so I want to talk just a little bit about that. And I'm going to bounce back into alien invasion. And I want to go to the end of it, because I was inching up to the end as we were progressing through the series. And with that, at the end, I was going to identify some of those people that I believe are of the Nephilim, or the fallen angels, or that species of people that have been corrupted. Okay, that species of people. I'm not going to go back and rehash all of that, but if you want to know more about that, you know, go back and grab Alien Invasion series, and that'll bring you up to speed. But it's not that we are to look at those, the Nephal or the Nephilim individuals, as giants, as we looked at Goliath. They are not giants as it relates to stature, their physical appearance, but they are giants in terms of what they are capable of doing, the influence that they have in the world, the positions that they have in the world, whether they be the presidents, or they be in politics, they be kings, they are rulers, whatever it is, they have influence, they have power, they have money, and when they speak, people listen. So now the objective is what I was trying to convey in the alien invasion message. The objective was to get the seed of the serpent into the earth, to infiltrate the earth at such a high capacity, such a high rate, that the seed of the woman would not be able to get in. Okay, so we know that God knocked that out the window, right? We know that. However, that meshing, that mingling continued. And so as a result of that, we still have the Nephilim, or the seed of the Nephilim, and the giants, and the agenda of the giants, the agenda of the giants. So my objective in that particular series at the end was to identify some of those faces, some of those agendas to show you that this is what the corruption, or this is the end all of what all this is what it's all about. Okay. So there was a purpose to my madness. And so that's just kind of a summation to highlight that. However, on today, what you're seeing is another picture. And in this picture, let me blow this picture up a little bit. In this picture, you're going to see guns. And the issue today is that they passed the law where you can carry guns, right? And you can carry guns on your person. And everybody can carry a gun. You know, you got to get registered and all that kind of stuff. But the waters are really muddled at this point. And I know that I'm going to get a lot of pushback on this because, you know, you've got several different camps out there. There is a predominant camp out there that believes that everybody should be able to bear arms, to have a weapon on their person, to defend themselves, and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's a part of me that's in agreement with that. However, there's another part that holds tension with that, because now we have to deal with the issue of responsibility. And we have to deal with the issue of being socially responsible or socially ethical. So what that means is that you have a lot of different sects of people that have their own reasoning, their own biases on people and what people should be here, what people should not be here. I like this person because of their gender. I don't like the other person because of their gender. I like this person because of their race. I don't like the other person because of their race. And so the waters are muddled, and there's a, you know, this can go in a whole lot of different ways. Hence is the reason why we need to regulate this. It needs to be governed in a way, legislated in a way, fashioned in a way to where it fits, it's most safe for everybody. Okay. And I'm not so sure that what our governor, DeWeese, what he just allowed to happen, I'm not so sure if that's the best answer. Is it an answer? It is an answer. Is it usable? Can it be used in a good way? It can be. But ultimately, my job is to look at the bigger picture. In the bigger picture, there's something in my spirit, the Holy Ghost, that says this is probably not optimal. And based upon those reasons that I brought up before. So with that being said, the backdrop is we can look at these guns and all these guns. We're seeing the ammo here. And I just pulled up one just to pull up images. And I Googled 9mm, right? Because 9mm are the gun of choice. Most people gonna get that. It's a popular gun. And they just use it. They use that. They use the Glock. And all that kind of stuff, right? Whatever it is, and it, you know, just whatever. So when we look at that, guns are made out of a metal, a steel, right? A steel, that's what they're made out of, and so on and so forth. So I wanted to put this picture in your head. I didn't want to show you a gun because I don't know what that would do to my live if somebody say, well, you know, he showed us a gun on his live. No, I'm not going to do that. But here's a picture of it. So with that being said, what I want to do today is I want to talk to you from the subject on today. And that's just to kind of break in as an intermission, if you will, for the Alien Invasion, a series that we're doing, and we'll get back to it. But I want to talk to you from the subject, peace, be still, or peace, be still. Woo! Peace be still, or peace be still. Peace, P-E-A-C-E, be still, S-T-I-L-L, or peace, that's the picture right here, P-I-E-C-E, be still, S-T-E-A-L, still. or S-T-E-E-L. Okay, steel. Okay, yeah, steel. That's steel. So I probably spelled that wrong in the caption there, but it's steel, like metal steel, S-T-E-E-L. So my question today, and I believe that it is a very important question today, is which piece are you dependent on? Which piece are you depending on? And what steel will you be? Or what steel will you ascribe to? Which one will you bring into your purview? Will it be the steel of metal? Or will it be the steel of quietness and trust and belief and faith and conviction? Which steel are you going to apprehend as a weapon that you're going to keep close to your person as you navigate this space that we live in today? And what peace will you walk with? Is it the peace of God, with God, or is it the peace of the steel that the government is enforcing, that the world has ascribed to, and that a lot of people saying that I'm gonna take this into what they call it, martial law, and I'm gonna take it into my own hands, and so I got a way to make it peaceful, and it's gonna be on my hip. And so with that particular piece, as I was talking to somebody this early this morning, with that type of piece, joy will not come in the morning. If you use that kind of peace, the Bible say weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, that particular weeping and what you're going through that with Jesus, okay? And that is the peace, P-E-A-C-E. If you have that weeping right there, it'll go away. Joy will come in the morning. But if you take that peace, the P-I-E-C-E, if you take that peace and you use that, I promise you, joy will not come in the morning time, because that is the wrong peace. And it is the wrong steel, and it does not yield joy to your situation and to others' situation. So now we live in this space now, and we're being ruled by giants. What do I mean by giants? I'm talking about the fall, the corruption that is in the world, and the corruption, the overarching piece with that is from the Alien Invasion series with the Nephilim, or the fall of the angels, the fall of the angels. All right. So I want to go to, I want to take you, and I know I need to have all this stuff on my screen so you can see it. I want you to go to the book of Mark, St. Mark. Mark, the fourth chapter. And we're going to commence at verse number 37. And it says, "And there arose a great storm of wind," a great storm of wind. And what we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen, today is that we're dealing with a great storm of wind. I don't want to get in all the didactics, the hermeneutics of all this right now, but just trust what I'm saying. There is a wind, there's a storm that is on the horizon and has hit, that is in our midst amongst us today. It is a storm, a great storm of wind. Because anytime that you can walk, I'm walking into the stores on yesterday in the Home Depot, and I'm seeing people with stuff on their hip, okay? And it's concealed. Now, I don't necessarily see, but I don't know what that is in that little leather case. Now you go into stores, you go to Walmart, you go to Giant Eagle, you go to wherever you go. And when you see all this stuff, I mean, these people are probably carrying, all right? Now, we know that they're carrying, we know that guns in and of themselves, they're not harmful. But what makes them harmful is the hands that get a hold of them. It's the hands. So there's a wind, there's a great storm of wind that's going on in our midst right now today. And it says, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The waves filled the ship up. I'm going somewhere. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, this is an example, and this is what really we need to take from the scriptures, where we need to be in the midst of it. But before we can be like that in the midst of it, we got to do something. We got to do something. We got to be something. We got to have some power in us, because the scripture says that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But we are not rightfully executing the authority and the greatness that we have. Hence is the reason why they can legislate. They can pass laws now that are not beneficial, that are not conducive for humanity. Now, watch this. He was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. They awake him, and they say unto him, Master, Master. Now, this is interesting, because a lot of us right now, we're saying, well, you know, Jesus, you don't care. And Jesus said, I gave you everything. It ain't that I don't care. I showed you how much I care. And I showed you how to use what I gave you. I left. And when I left, I sent something back. I gave you power. I gave you authority. I gave you a comforter. I gave you all that. So now y'all crying to me when you don't have to cry to me, because I'm in you. I'm going to get there. I'm going to show you in a minute. I'm in you. Master, carest thou not that we perish? I love the word of God. That we perish. You don't care. You don't care. And you know, you gotta really look at this, because here it is. We are in what is called the New Testament. Now, I don't agree with that being in New Testament, because I know Jesus walked and he ministered, and they call it, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all they call it New Testament. But the perfection didn't come until after the Holy Ghost. We know that Jesus did exploits. We know who he was. We get all that kind of stuff. And we know that the disciples, they did some things and other things they failed in. But the real church did not emerge until the book of Acts. So we really could say that the book of Acts was the New Testament, not so much the Gospels. Because, yeah, we see Jesus working in the Gospels. But the church is referring to us, to us. We don't see us emerge until the book of Acts. That was free. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind. Now, Jesus is on the earth, and he's trying to show us how to do it before he leaves. And said unto the sea, peace. He arose off of his pillow. He wasn't worried about nothing. He wasn't worried about nothing. So he gets off of his pillow. He rises up. And he says to the storm, he says to the legislators, he says to the giants, he says to the big wigs, he says to the leadership, he says to the governments, he says to the politicians, he says to industries everywhere, he says to different policies and prejudices and biases of people, all that kind of stuff that's going on, injustices and all that. He says, peace. P-E-A-C-E. That's what he says. He says, peace now, be still. Peace, comma, be still, S-T-I-L-L, S-T-I-L-L. In the midst of all this stuff that we got going on, Jesus says the way that you mitigate this, the way that you handle this, is you say peace to it, and then you command it to be still, shut up, become subject under your authority, under your rule, under your command, your voice. Watch. And the wind ceased. And the wind ceased. Now, that's telling me a whole lot. That's saying somebody don't have power. Or somebody is asleep and won't wake up. Or somebody don't care. Look at all the stuff that they ask him. You know, Master, don't you care about us? Jesus wakes up, he shows them, he looks at the situation, he speaks to it. It ceases. We are supposed to be able to do the same thing. This is Bible study. But we are looking at this thing. I guess maybe we're not looking with the eyes of God, the eyes of Jesus. Maybe we're not. I don't know what the problem is. Okay. But I'm trying to help the church, help us to mitigate what's going on, because the next person that dies could be your child. It could be your son. It could be your daughter. It could be your mother. It could be your father. It could be your baby. And who knows what's next? Who knows what's next? Okay. All my series, I'm going somewhere. If y'all listen to them, they all pointing us somewhere. If you go back and you look, I'm talking about a whole lot of stuff. There is a method to my madness. Now watch this. And then it says the wind ceased and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. You know the reason why things ain't calm right now? Reason why oil prices going crazy, gas prices going crazy, wars, all that. On one hand, prophecy has to be fulfilled. But on the other hand, things, it could be done differently if the church would speak, if the church would honor the Holy Spirit, if the church would understand the authority that's been given to them, it would be different. It could be different. It would be different. There was a great calm. And he said unto them, verse 40, why are ye so fearful? Because see, I'm not scared, I'm concerned. Now that's me. I'm not scared, I'm concerned. Does that mean that I don't have stuff to protect myself? I didn't say that. I did. Please don't get it twisted. I didn't say that because I know the world is crazy. I know the world crazy. So I'm not just going to offer myself up and martyr them. You can't walk through my front door and I say, well, I guess it's time for me to go. The devil is a liar. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? What's the underlining issue here? Lack of faith. I talk about something that I really don't believe in. I talk about something that I really don't have. I'm just saying, y'all, I don't know if this is for the church or not. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? When was the last time that somebody said to you about you, what manner of man are you? What manner of man are you? All right. I want to take you somewhere else now. I want to take you to Luke. I want to take you to Luke 10. Luke 10 and 17. Luke 10 and 17. The 10th chapter, verse number 17. I know that didn't look right. Luke 10, not 11, Donnie. Luke 10, verse 17. And it says here, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Now, the backdrop of this is that there was an issue. The concern here was it was an issue of Jesus saying that when you see me, you see the Father. When you see the Father, you see me. Okay, it was like the world, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all of them, they could understand that, but then they didn't accept it because they still crucified him because he said that he was God. That was the whole blasphemy piece, okay? But still, we can understand that when we read the Bible today that, you know, when you see the Son, you see the Father. When you see the Father, you see the Son. If you hear me, you do hear God. If you hear God, you hear me. So we can understand that. But we take issue now when we say, when you hear me, you hear Jesus. When I'm talking, you just heard Jesus talk. When I'm talking, you just saw Jesus. You were just in the presence of Jesus when I talked. Oh, we got a problem with that. Because now I don't know about that. I wasn't born incarnate and all that. This is another long story. I'm just giving you kind of the backdrop. And once we're born again and we've been filled with the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff, that's what Jesus is saying here. When I leave, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And so now you are in my stead. So that's the reason why the scripture says, when you pray, pray like this. What thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So in other words, earth is supposed to mirror heaven. Earth's kingdom is supposed to look like the heavenly kingdom. So if Jesus is up in the heavens, if he's in the kingdom there, how he runs the kingdom there is the way that we're supposed to run the kingdom down here. So hence, when Jesus looks down, he says that if you're doing it like me, then you are me. But we got a problem with that because it's so much carnality in the earth. And so now the world has a conflicting view. Don't get me off track here. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, here was the issue. Where my time at? The issue was being able to represent Jesus. See, the disciples, and when we look at this particular text, Jesus was not there when he sent them out by twos and he sent the 70 out, but that group of 70 out by twos. Jesus was not with them in person. And this is one of the issues that we have, is that Jesus is not with us in person. So what Jesus now, he's saying, listen, I'm not going to be with you in person, but my spirit is with you. I'm banking. I don't want to use the word bet. I am banking on my name. It's my name that you use. It's my name that devils will come subjected to. It is my name, not my presence. I don't need to be on earth anymore. I don't need to be in the midst of the crowd that they focus on me, my structure, my being, my physical being. What I want them to focus on is my name. If there's power in my name. So I want you to use my name. Hence, it's why I preference this, that if you use the P-I-E-C-E, that piece, joy will not come in the morning. What did it say right here? It says, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. The devils are subject to us through thy name. Now, it was all about God's name. Now, let me get it because I got to wrap this up because, you know, y'all get bored. And I love the word of God, and I could just talk Bible and this stuff all day. I want you to go to the book of Acts, because the crisis that the world is viewing right now, that's around us, that's speaking to us, the crisis that the world is waiting on from the church is to hear in their language, to hear in a language that they would understand. The communication right now, the communication is on the hip, because they're saying that we understand the Glock, we understand the 9mm, we understand the semi-automatics and all that. We understand that. But the language now, they're saying that this language that y'all talking, you're not talking in my language. Or you're not, the language that you present to me is not powerful enough for me to hear it. Now, I'm saying that because I want you to see something here. Acts 2:1-7, it says this. Acts 2:1-7. I want you to hear this. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, now this is where the church comes in at, y'all, they were all with one accord in one place. One of the issues is we ain't together. All with, not on, but with. Not on, but with. You can't be on an accord. You got to be with an accord. With one accord, they were, day of Pentecost when was fully come, they were all They were all with one accord and in one place, with one accord in one place. Now watch this, verse number two. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Please stay with me. Please share this. Please like this. Please tell somebody that they need to hear this, because this is an answer to one of the most prevailing issues, problems of today. This is what the church needs to display in order to mitigate where we are as a country, as a people, as a world today. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. See, we focus on one thing. We focus the Holy Ghost. We focus that and give credence to the babble part, the tongue part. And we say, well, you know, as long as speaking your heavenly language, coming in a Honda, 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 coming in a Honda. And then, you know, all of a sudden it get good to you. And then you saying something that don't sound like English. Okay. And then after that, somebody confirms that there you go, girl. There you go, boy. You got it. You got the Holy Ghost. But that was never the Holy Ghost. Man, I wish I'd have preached this. I did a series on this before. I ain't got time to deal with that right now. That is not it. That is not the language that we're talking about here. And watch. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak in a way that they don't normally speak. And when they spoke, something happened. Watch this. Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Okay, now they talking. Now, this is a certain group of people. This is the early church people that have gotten converted. These are the ones that were waiting. Jesus said, I need you to wait. When you wait in the upper room, that I'm going to send the comforter. When he comes, he's going to endue you with power. After the Holy Ghost comes, he endues you with power, comes as a rushing mighty wind, like as cloven tongues, all that. Then they get the Holy Spirit. Okay, it wasn't just the disciples up there. It was a whole lot of folks up there. Now watch this. It says, and there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout man, out of every nation under heaven. That's where we at right now. It's devoutness, and it's represented by every nation under heaven. This issue that we got going on right now, the situation, the problem, it is worldwide. But watch this. This is an answer, y'all. Out of every nation under heaven. Now, verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. That means that they were scratching their head, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Every man, every nation heard them, those that the Holy Spirit had fell upon, heard them speak in their own language. You mean to tell me that they spoke where the legislators, where the presidents, where the rulers, where the giants, and all these people could hear and understand? Could hear and understand. Because I'm telling you right now, when y'all look at all these different movements, Black Lives and Me Too and all this stuff, everybody's looking for a language that they can understand. That's the reason why they got all these different movements that's coming about. The gun law, that's the NRA and all that stuff. That's a movement. That's a language. It's not a verbal language, but it's a language on my hip. They said, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? If I pull this Smith & Wesson out, this 9mm, oh, you understand the language. Listen, y'all, listen. The multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, watch verse 7. And they were all amazed and marvel, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? What they were saying right there is, how can they be speaking in a language that is not theirs, but it's ours, and we recognize it, it makes sense to us, and you know, I think we're gonna have to submit to this. Because right now, I mean, now all of a sudden it's clicking. And how does it click? It's supernatural. Then it means that God got into it. And what God is saying is, he's saying, listen, he says, I want to speak a language. The problem is that there is no speaking of my language in the earth. The whole earth is waiting for the church now to speak in a language that the world can recognize. And so y'all, every time I keep saying y'all, and it seems like I'm pointing at somebody, I'm saying with the church, what we relax in is the fact that, girl, boy, I spoke in tongues. So what? So what? You spoke in tongues, but is your life still defeated? You spoke in tongues, but do you have any food in your cabinets? You spoke in tongues, do you own your own house? You spoke in tongues, do you have any money in the bank? You spoke in tongues, but do you have a job? You spoke in tongues, but are your children obedient? You spoke in tongues, but do you have any education? You spoke in tongues, do you have any favor? You spoke in tongues, but do you know any of the promises of God? You spoke in tongues, are you apprehending any of this? You spoke in tongues, but you still got hatred in your heart. You spoke in tongues, but you still don't have faith. You spoke in tongues, but you still say the vaccine will heal me and will protect me. You spoke in tongues, but you still say, well, I can carry a gun now because the legislator, the God of this world, says that it's okay and this is the way of protection. You spoke in tongues, but you still allow your 16-year-old daughter or son to go out and get married. And maybe in some cases it was a 14-year-old. They went out and got married because the law said in certain states that it's admissible that they can do it. And you allow a lawlessness from a legislator, a policy, some type of political jurisdiction now to give you moral insight or a moral compass to what is right and what is wrong. Something is wrong. So you got all that with your tongues. Your tongue speak itself. I'm talking about all of us now. And with all that, we ain't walking around with no power. And so God is saying, I'm confused. Because this is not according to the story of Jesus being on the ship, sleeping on a pillow, speaking to the wind, speaking to the storm, speaking to the sea, and saying, peace, be still. Jesus now is saying, I don't know what to do with what I gave you. And what I gave you don't even know how to respond. It responds according to my will, according to my word, according to my design. And my design wasn't ambiguous. My design wasn't conflicting. So where's the problem? Is the problem with Jesus, the problem with his word, or is the problem with us? What the problem is. So that's all I'm saying. So we're looking now for, we're looking for the church to gain access to a language, a specified language, a specific language that the world now is saying, if you start talking like this, I'll understand you. I was at a church just a couple days ago, and I'm talking to the youth there because they're trying to get me to come and be a pastor and all that stuff. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. But anyway, that's for me. That ain't for you. They're saying, but you know, they ain't got nothing for us. They ain't got nothing for us. Let me tell you something. And I've been guilty of this too, because I said, if I concede to what the millennials, what the Gen Zs, what the world wants, then I'm not no better than anybody else. I didn't see what Jesus conceded. I didn't see where he says, well, you know, it's changing time now. And so they ain't like us. And so my word now is it was only good. It had an expiration date. It was only good for this generation and that generation. But for this new generation, it ain't no good for them. I don't read that. And so I'm looking at all this stuff and I want to give an answer to the gripe and the request that they're saying, okay, well, if you come in and pastor us, are you going to do this? Because we like video games and we like all this stuff where the machine guns, see, because the machine guns on the video games, they became a reality now. And so I hear it all day long, all these shootings that's going on. A lot of that stuff is that stuff that we give them by way of technology, all that stuff in their hands, and it's become a reality to them. They really believe in this stuff now. So they're taking it now to the streets, y'all. And not only that, we have government that are being ruled, governed by Satan and Satan's imps, by the destruction, by the character, by the seed of the serpent, and they are legislating because they are in places now where they can legislate this stuff. And if we don't do nothing about it, I'm telling you, we are in big, big trouble. If we don't do nothing about it. So I'm just trying to do my part. I'm going to say this last thing and I'm going to go and we're going to go into Ephesians 6 and 12. And I want to read this and then I'm done. I'm done. We're going to wrap it up. Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6 and 12 says this. It says, for we wrestle not. See, all this right here is connected. Everything that I said is connected because I'm trying to show you something here. It says, for we wrestle not. And I want to correct something that the church has said for so long. I don't want to say I want to correct it because it is true, but it's not all of it. And I think the reason why we have trouble in certain areas is because we don't know a bigger picture of it. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, okay, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I want to go back to one thing. In verse number 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness. Now, we know that we ain't wrestling. Even though somebody take the gun and they shoot you, there was something behind that. There was a spiritual influence that was behind that. That's over that. And I tell y'all all the time when Daniel, when he prayed, and there was an answer that was sent. It came from heaven, the upper heaven. And he says that, Daniel, I heard you on the first day, but the answer now was intercepted. So it took 21 days to get the answer to you because the prince of Persia of this principalities. That's Ephesians 6 and 12. Because God gave Satan authority over a certain realm, or a heavenly place. It's the heavens above us. That's why we get all the storms and this and all that kind of stuff like that, because the enemy is over all that. Okay, so we good with that. Y'all got that part right. But it's one other part that I want you to bolt onto it, because it is a conjunction with a difference here. It says against powers, against rulers of the darkness. Now, see that darkness now, and I don't have time to really deal with it, but that darkness is not just when you go to outer space, when you look up at night, when you go, when you turn the lights off and all that. That ain't the darkness that this is talking about right here. That is not the darkness. That is not an influenced darkness from an atmosphere that is around you that may be demonic, may be influenced by the devil's imps, by angels, demonic demons and all that kind of stuff. That's not what that is. We know that they dark, but that's not all that is. See, let me tell you one of the things that we're overlooking, and I may have to go to John 1 and 4 and to even further solidify this right here, one of the things that we're missing is that God speaks to, you know what? Let's just go there. Let's go to John real quick, and then I'm gonna wrap it up. Let's go to John 1, St. John. Let's start at verse number 4. And it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. In him, which is Jesus now, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the darkness, what darkness are we talking about here? We're not talking about dark skies. We're not talking about dark atmospheres. We're talking about a dark spirit. We're talking about a dark consciousness. We're talking about a darkness, meaning that you can't comprehend the light. Because if you get the light, then there's life that's given to you. It is the life of men, the light. It becomes your life now. But if it's shining in a dark place, a dark darkness means that you're not open to receive it. Just like maybe this live that I'm on right now. I ain't trying to hear him. Dark. Dark. That's what that is in Ephesians 6 and 12. Darkness. Principalities and darkness. It means that I am not going to subject myself to light. I am not going to go back to my word from Sunday when I talked about wayside people. The seed, it fell on wayside people. Wayside people was people, they rejected. They rejected the seed. A sower went out to sow, and he sowed seed, and the seed fell by the wayside. Wayside was people that they were so messed up. As soon as they came, as soon as help came, soon as the light came, soon as life came to them, well, however you want to look at it, they said, I don't want none of that. I'm going to do it my way. And so the fowl came and it ate it up, all the seed. Ate it up immediately. It ate it up. There was no way for it to take root. I'll finish that message on this Sunday. But that's what I'm talking about here. Darkness. What am I saying? We're walking in darkness. Darkness. And the reason why is because we're rejecting the light. We're rejecting his word. We're rejecting this preached word. You don't want to, you'll hear from Jesus because you don't believe Jesus is in me. You don't believe Jesus is in the church. You don't believe Jesus is in the man of God. And so you ain't listening to it. So hence you become stony. You become wayside and you ain't listen to nothing. So if you ain't listen to nothing, can't nothing take root. So you can't get helped. You see what I'm saying? Because it's darkness. Darkness does not comprehend light. Darkness does not comprehend light. Now, in my close, let's go back to the title of my message, Peace Be Still or Peace Be Still. My question to you today is, what peace will you take into your heart? What peace will you take into your bosom? Will it be the peace of God that passes all understanding? I don't know. I can't explain it. But not only do I have peace with God, that's an easy peace. Something happens, we know we made peace with him, we go into heaven. But to have the peace of God in tumultuous times, treacherous times out there, that's different. I'm dealing with stuff right now. And people don't agree because, see, you're not going to agree with the word. You're not going to agree with righteousness because the world can't comprehend righteousness. So the angle that you're going to come at, the angle that they're going to hear, they're going to say, that don't sound right. Why? Because that ain't dark enough for me. Give me the dark stuff. Give me the dark stuff. But if you want life, then light has to come because there was life in Jesus and the life in him became the light of men. Became the light. So we got to get away from the dark stuff. Get away from the P-I-E-C-E. Now, I ain't saying that. I ain't telling you to go and throw your weapons away. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, like I've said in all my other lives, where is your trust? Where is your peace? If I had gotten the vaccine, if I had gotten it, I still wouldn't be believing in the vaccine for my sustainability. I would still be standing on the word. But I'm just not sure now. And that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that, yeah, these things are happening. But where's your hope? Where's your trust? Where's your faith? Let's come out of the darkness into the light. That's all I'm saying. I'm out of time, y'all. Hope you got something out of this message today. Hope you got something out of this. Listen, the worst is over. The best is yet to come. Your quality of life is getting better and better and better. And because of that, you're going to live and not die and declare the works and the will of the Lord. Until next time, this is Face to Face. I'm out.